You're listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We're going through Genesis, and when I left, we were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham, tender-hearted Abraham, who had a heart for even the ungodly, trying to get Yahuwah, the judge of all the earth, to spare the cities, for if there's 10 righteous, and he's entreated himself from 50 down to 10, because he knows the wickedness of these cities, and he's just hoping, and he's praying for these cities right before the Heavenly Father, before Yahshua, the high priest himself. And he prayed himself down to, and he said, this is the last thing I'm going to ask. If there's 10 righteous in this city, will you spare it? And the high priest, the judge of all the earth, says, I'll spare it for 10, Abraham. And in America, comparatively speaking, perhaps on a per capita basis, I wonder if there are 10 righteous in America. I don't know what the population of Sodom and Gomorrah was. You know, perhaps 100,000. We have 400,000 in America now. What is the basis? I mean, how would we compare to Sodom and Gomorrah on a per capita basis? They had one righteous. They didn't have 10. He would have spared it for 10. But you know what? He's under no obligation because, you know, Abraham is entreating him. He's under no obligation to spare us for 10 righteous. Let's say that Sodom and Gomorrah had 100,000 people in the city. Maybe 1,000,000. Well, let's go with 1,000,000. That's a little easier to decipher. So we would need 300 righteous. Is there 300 righteous? One per 1,000,000? Yeah, I believe America is there. You know, perhaps 10, you know, 3 million righteous in America? I hope so. 30 million? Well, you know, we might be getting close to what I feel in my spirit might be the limit of the righteous in America. Because it's always a remnant. You know, the prophet lamented in his day before Yahuwah, and he said, nobody's listening, nobody cares, there are no righteous. And Yahuwah tells the prophet, yes, there are I have a remnant of 3,000 in Israel. Yet Israel was judged continually, even though there was a righteous remnant. Will America be spared? Well, I feel like Abraham, Heavenly Father, you know. And I'm in it, though Abraham wasn't in it. He was near it. It wasn't going to touch him, but it was going to touch those people. And, you know, I bet you Abraham was thinking about Lot, too, because his nephew Lot was in the city. And perhaps that is what he was thinking about more than anything else. He knew there was at least one righteous in the city. And, yeah, I just pray the Heavenly Father to have mercy on this land. So there's a lot of work to do, and that's another reason why I do what I do, is because I want to draw people into His kingdom. I want people to search the Scriptures and learn obedience and start practicing obedience to our Heavenly Father. I believe that we have hundreds of years to go, and we've talked about the calendar a little bit. I don't believe the end of the world is coming. Yes, I do believe that we're near, that we are in the last of the last days, but I believe that's several hundred years off. And I don't say that lightly. If I was just judging by the signs of the times and by all the excitement of those prophecy teachers, the New Age prophecy teachers of this day, and the way a lot of people feel about it, and I believe that there's a great escapist mentality that has overtaken the corporate church out there, and has become very popular, so that people want to believe that, oh, Jesus is coming any day, and, you know, now, and we're all going to be raptured away. Yeah. Well, I'm not there. I'm not with you on that. I believe that we are in the last days. I believe that it's as short as several hundred years because of my study of the calendar. And I've shared some of that study with you. I've shown you that up until the time that Solomon's temple was built, that the beginning of the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in It was the year 3149 from creation. And that's why people who don't believe, who believe in an old earth creation, millions of years or 12,000 years, you know, the scripture says something different. Let's rightly divide the word of God. And let's forget about all of these imaginations of men like Hugh Ross and what's the other guy's name? Darwin, and all of these vain imaginations. And let's just believe that if he says an evening and a morning were a day, well, that was an evening and a morning were a day. You know, and people go, well, you know, the year is 1,000 days and 1,000 days a year to Yahuwah. Well, yeah, that's true, but that's to him. But he doesn't say an evening and a morning. When he says an evening and a morning is a day 6 times, and then we're still experiencing evening and mornings, and he says in the commandments that he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, so he's commanding us to have rest the seventh day after 6 days. It's not a figure of speech. It's actually 6 days. He's not telling us to work for 6 million years or 6,000 years and rest for 1,000 years. No, he's telling us, you know, we're to work for 6 evening and morning days, and then we're to rest on the 7th evening and morning days. And the calendar is going to be a whole other study on itself. And I've learned a lot from other men. And I am so grateful that there are so many good teachers out there, that there are so many good researchers out there, that I have been able and can rightly divide the Word of God by what I've learned and what the Heavenly Father has brought before my face. And he has verified by his word and by the creation and by his spirit. Those are my 3 witnesses. When those agree, when all 3 of those agree, I know I'm on the right track. So when the word says it and his spirit confirms it and the creation confirms it, what further need do I have? What else is there, really? I don't need the imaginations of men to add to that. As a matter of fact, the imaginations of men cannot take the place of any one of those 3 witnesses. Because if they do, then I know I'm on the wrong track, or at least I need to get those 3 to agree. And that way I can just forget the imaginations of men altogether, or the theories of men. Because as long as it's a theory, you know, we have to realize that it's only a theory. Now, there's some theories I like because they do seem to not go against the word, against his spirit, and against the witness of creation. But, you know, as long as they're just theories, I have to recognize that. I can't buy into a theory and then build a doctrine upon it like many people do. We have to be honest with ourselves if we love the truth. And as a teacher of the Word of God, such as I am, I'm under a greater, I'm held to a higher accountability. So I have to be more careful about what I believe, what I say, and what I do. So we don't know. Will judgment come on America? It could. Anything that could happen anywhere in the world, else in the world, anything that is happening or has happened anywhere else, it could happen here. It hasn't, and I believe that's because of the righteousness of the land, because of the form of government, that it has been lamb-like, that we have Christ-like features of our government that made this nation the greatest that ever has been, and probably ever will be among the governments of men, among the beast governments of men. That I could be wrong about that. There could be a greater rise up, more lamb-like, that fits into that definition of the second beast of Revelation 13. But I believe America is it. That America is the beast, the second beast that rises up in the wilderness, which means it doesn't rise up in the multitudes from the sea, like the first beast rises up from the sea, which means refers to multitudes of tongues and nations and peoples. And America did rise up in the wilderness. It rose up out of the land, out of the earth, and it formed a lamb-like government. It had 2 horns like a lamb. That's describing that beast. And we're not going to get too far into that, but that gives you a clue. Read Revelation 13 and you'll find that, hey, it works, it fits. There's no other government that has existed to this day that fits that description, and it's unlikely that another one can rise up that will fit that description. And that's so we can see the future of America, but does it have to come now? Does it have to come in my lifetime? Does it have to come in my children's and my grandchildren's lifetime? No. We have a lot of work to do. I say pray, you know, pray like Abraham. Have mercy on this people. Have mercy on these 50 states. Have mercy on them for the righteous that are in them. And perhaps we have 10 righteous by comparison in America. And he will spare it for the 10 righteous. But we know there's a time coming when the lamb-like beast will speak as a dragon, and we can see it starting to speak as a dragon right now. And there are some places in the world where they know that it speaks like a dragon. Just ask them over there in Iraq. Ask all the insurgents, so-called, that are fighting against the occupation of their home nation and their home state. They look at America as the dragon. That's why they call it the Great Satan. Getting the picture? I got it. So, and he said, okay, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once more. Peradventure 10 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10th sake. And Yahuwah went his way. And as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Abraham goes back to his tent, and the Lord and those that were with him carry on. And we get to chapter 19 of Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom, even, at even. Okay, and these are probably two of the men that appeared with Yahuwah, with Yahushua pre-incarnate, the judge of all the earth. And they went to Sodom at even. And Lot sat down, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So he recognized them for who they were, because he was a righteous man. He had eyes to see. And this was Lot, sitting at the gate of Sodom. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, see, why? There's this one righteous man in Sodom named Lot, and he wants to protect these men. I don't know if he knows they're angels. He may not know what they are and the power that they have. But he wants to protect them. He makes them a feast. He brings them in. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. You know, when they looked at this men, what did they see? Well, they probably saw pretty good-looking men. That's what they saw. They somehow were very attracted to these men. And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came in to you this night? Bring them out unto this, thus that we may know them. And I don't think they just wanted to shake hands with them and tell them how glad they were to meet them. This was a very wicked city. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Wow. Let me tell you, that was a city you did not want to visit. Sodom and Gomorrah. No way. You wouldn't go there and spend the night. They called to Lot, where are the men that we may know them? He says, don't do so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came they into the shadow of my roof. Oh, Lot, you know, he's going to turn his daughters out. But they aren't interested in his daughters. I mean, it just to demonstrate how perverse these men are. They aren't even interested in doing wickedness to his daughters. They want them in. And it was Lot shouldn't have done that. I mean, you can see the effect of this city on the judgment that Lot is. Here is a righteous man even thinking to turn his daughters out. The wickedness of this city, to dwell with the wicked, is not a good thing. We really do need to come out from wicked people and not have anything to do with them, you know, if it is at all possible. I mean, you know, some of us have to work with people that are wicked, and there's not much we can do about that. We have to have contact with them, but we do not have to hang out with them day in and day out. And obviously, Lot really had no one else to hang out with but these wicked men. So you can see the effect that it has on his judgment, because he should not have done this. And obviously, he did not know the power of the angels, these messengers that he had in his house with him. They would protect him, not the other way around. So he says, do unto them as is good in your eyes. Well, there was no good in their eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. So now they're talking about Lot. This man came, he was a stranger, he came to us, and he's going to be a judge now? We will deal worse with you than with them. And so now they're attacking Lot too. And they pressed sore upon the man Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So he brought them in to protect them, and they're protecting him. And they pulled him in, they shut the door, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find a door. And it just shows you how wicked these people were, how wicked these men, young and old, were, that even though they were smitten with blindness, I mean, they should have fell down. They should have been repenting. You know, this supernatural thing happens to them so that they're blind, and they're still groping for the door. They still want the men. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides a son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring out of this place. Okay, these are the angels speaking to Lot. If anyone you have, if you have a son besides your son-in-law, and I don't know if they're excluding the son-in-law here, and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah sent us to destroy it. So he knew there was not 10 righteous, but there was one righteous man in the city. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters. So his daughters he gave to some wicked men in the city, and said, up, get you out of this place, for Yahuwah will destroy this city. But he seemed to be one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And I thought, he's crazy. Nothing's going to happen to our fair city. Isn't that how people feel in America? It can't happen here. Nothing could happen here, because we've had, you know, so much peace. Although, look at what did happen here. We had such a great war and such a great bloodshed in this land that we call America. And it came from within. It was brother against brother. More blood was shed. More lives were lost of men and women and children in the war of federal aggression, in the war against liberty, in this land, than all of them was lost by Americans, that was shed by Americans in all of the wars that America has been involved in since. More blood was shed right here in the land. And how long can the land cry out with innocent blood and with wickedness that it will not be answered? How long? It can happen here. You know, I pray that it doesn't happen here, because I would like my children and my grandchildren. But most people, Like Lot trying to convince his son-in-laws to come out with his daughters, to come out because it's going to be destroyed. They think he's mad. Nah, nothing. That can't happen here, Lot. That can't happen here, Nicholas. It can't happen here. This is America. This is the great city. We've known peace all these years for whatever generations we've been here. It can't happen here. Well, you know, it's only been 150 years here since we had our great bloodshed, where more blood was shed than America lost in all the wars it's been involved in since. It can happen here, and it will happen here. It's just a matter of when it will happen here. And Lot said to them, okay, but he seemed as one that mocked unto them, unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, when the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, take thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So he had two daughters that were not married. And he tried to, because his daughters that he gave to his sons-in-law to be married, they now belong to them. And they stayed with their husbands. So he took his two daughters that were with him, the ones that he offered to the men of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, even upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, Yahuwah being merciful unto them. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. They practically had to drag them out of the city. He said, when they rose in the morning, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And they took them by the hand, and they set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take my life and I die. O ye of little faith, Lot, when Yahuwah tells you to go to the mountain, you go to the mountain, because he's responsible for you, and you believe that he's going to take care of you. But he says, oh, don't, lest I die. You just see the effect on the faithfulness of a righteous man amidst the wickedness. You know, that's why I say, if you're in the city, make plans to get out of the city. If you're living and all of your neighbors are unrighteous, why should you stay there? Leave the city. And I left the city. I'd never move into a city. And I left the city because I felt drawn to leave the city. That's going to be the first place, because I believe that though America may not be judged to the extent that there was great bloodshed, you know, 150 years ago in the war against liberty, the federal war of aggression, we may not be judged to that extent, but I believe that more judgment will come. It will incrementally come. I mean, that's, seems to be the way it happens. So it could be. I believe that there will come judgment on the cities. And that's where it'll start. Because if someone's going to strike at the heart of America, where are they going to strike? San Francisco? Los Angeles? New York? You know, Washington, D.C.? Where are they going to strike? They're going to strike where it hurts, where the toll will be the greatest. America has a lot of enemies in the world. What would it take for Yahuwah to raise up our enemies against us? Very little. Why? We don't fear him. And that was, you know, the attitude of America was demonstrated at that event, 9-1-1, when people raised up their flags and they put on, God bless America. And there were a couple ministers who said, America bless God, so that God can bless America. And those men were railed against. People got mad because that was said. That shows you the heart of this nation, like Sodom and Gomorrah.